following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, Lord, we pray that you would come and this word would be like a sword to cut down and set us free. And everybody said, okay, you folks, we're going to go through this rapidly, quickly. Proverbs 25:28. The Lord put a word in my heart I felt hopefully would encourage you. Proverbs 25:28. Solomon said here, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. The Old Testament, if you had a city without walls, you were subject to the comings and goings of the enemy at his behest. He's saying if you're not ruling your spirit, really that speaks of someone that's spiritually dull, clueless, has no defense against the enemy, not moving in any discernment, maybe no discipline, an undisciplined, passive, soulish life, subject to the ups and downs of things of life. He's saying, if that's your case, you're like a city, and the enemy is just going to hit you blindside like bats in the belfry. And unfortunately, folks, Proverbs 25:28 is a picture of many believers. And why? The enemy has many inroads in your life, and you're just not cognizant because of maybe spiritual dullness or naivety, or not connecting the dots. And the teaching today, the title is Spiritual Dullness Will Get You Into Trouble. It'll get you into trouble. And it's really important that we learn to connect the dots in life, because there is a cause and effect in life. There is a reaping of what you sow. You'll make choices here, and then there'll be the consequence of your choices. And a lot of times we don't connect the dots. We're clueless. We don't understand that the reason there's certain phenomena occurring with you or your family or your kids or your job or your things you own is directly related to the fact that you hardened your heart here, judged here, chose not to yield to the Holy Ghost here. And so you make these choices and think that, you know, Ecclesiastes, it says, because sentence against a evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are set in them to do evil. In other words, because God doesn't immediately respond with a lightning bolt, we think we're getting away with something. But the truth is, be not God's not mocked, for whatever you sow, you're going to reap. To whatever measure you meet out, it's going to be measured to you again. That's just a reality. But it's a delayed reaction. And because it's delayed, we often don't connect the dots. We don't recognize, gosh. And as a pastor, over the years, I've been able to learn in my own life, and particularly those under my charge, I can connect the dots because I kind of see the big picture. And that's true with you as a parent. You know, moms and dads have the particular ability to look at a child and see kind of the big picture. Well, you're going through all this now because you got off the road over here and got bunny trails, and that's why this. You can see that as a parent. You know, it's a parent. Get it? You get it? But the problem is, for ourselves, we're often blind and naive. We'll make a choice here, and then we wonder why we're having a day like Job. Everything hitting the fan. No clue that there was a point where we said, no, Lord. You know, Psalm 14 says, there's a verse that says, there's none that understand, no, not one. For the wicked says in his heart, there is no God. The original rendering is, the wicked says in his heart, no, God. No, Lord. So when you say no to the Lord is very gracious. He's like a kindly, incredibly merciful being. He is. And he'll say, okay, well, fine. You don't like plan A, we'll just do plan B. Plan A is really what you want. Plan A is God speaks, you obey, and everything goes well. Plan B is God speaks, you disobey. God allows things to come into your life that will bring you around to where you'll obey. Then things go well. Who wants plan B? Plan B is there. He even has a plan C. All the way to Z. He is persuaded that he would begin a good work will perform it. God will not be mocked. He will perform that which you completed. But our cooperation expedites the process. 2 Corinthians 2:11. So what's the problem? You ready? Spiritual cluelessness. Spiritual cluelessness. Inability to connect the dots. I've learned the greatest way to be spiritually
Kluffel?
Aware is to get still every day and get quiet and listen. Because one thing the Holy Ghost is always trying to do is connect the dots for you. If you learn to listen, say, Lord, why is all hell breaking loose in my life? Why am I getting sick? Why are my kids getting sick? Why is this and that? Why? And you know, the Lord is more than happy a lot of times to say, well, let's go back to the data. And if you get real still and you have an open heart, a correctable heart, the Holy Ghost will say, well, remember here when I told you to go to that person and humble yourself because of your whatever, and you just justified and said no, and or made it say, well, they need to come to me, and then you put it out of your mind? Yeah. Well, have you noticed that ever since then all hell has been breaking loose the last 3 months?
Never noticed.
I know. Let's go back to the data. Let's deal. Have you noticed when I came to you with conviction and I was trying to impress you and burden you and you basically rationalized, justified, made excuses, whatever, and then you blew me off or you just changed the subject and I backed off? Have you noticed ever since then all hell's been breaking loose? Or periodic problems that you've never had before? Or the zombies are coming up out of the swamp that were once dead? Yeah. Well, let's go back to the data. Let's go back to the beginning. You got to move your piece back to Marvin Gardens. Sorry. No jumping across the board. The Holy Ghost is determined that you do the right thing. Amen? Amen? You know the right thing is? Obey the voice of the Spirit. So we don't live by the law, but we do live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. The enemy has an advantage to the degree you're naive and soulish. It's that simple. Now, here's the thing. God has given you a barometer. You have a barometer inside of you. Y'all know what a barometer is? Kind of a something that measures the atmosphere. A barometer is something that measures or the degree of something. I don't know a clear definition you could give. But it's basically a measuring tool to determine something else. Now, a barometer inside of me, I have one that can determine where I am spiritually. It's called my human spirit. My human spirit is a barometer. Look at Ephesians 6:10. You have something in you that can help you. And it's your human spirit. The problem is so many of us are so soulish, caught up in the mind, is soul, emotions. We don't get still and listen to the nuances and the subtleties and the still small voice of God that speaks in our spirit, that leads us in the way that we should go to bring peace and order and revelation and discernment of what's really going on. That all these demons hitting your house and your family and your situation or your circumstance or your health, a lot of it is because the demons have come in because there's an open door. And you're not going to find that in the soul. You got to get still and listen to the Holy Spirit and repent and humble yourself and receive forgiveness and get back on the way. And then the Holy Ghost comes up behind you and says, take authority in Jesus' name. The problem is, with a lot of us, we're afraid to take authority. We don't know we have to take authority. But you're strong of God. Resist the devil and he flee. Not ignore the devil. You've got to resist him. You've got to be cognizant there is a devil. He's part of the problem. And resist him. And when you resist him, he flees. There isn't a lot of fleeing of devils going on because there's a lot of real gut-level resistance going on in people. Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, the place to be strong is in your spirit. You've got to exercise faithfully. The purpose of spiritual disciplines. I know that there are times we get tired and don't want to exercise spiritual discipline. I know that. You know, I mean, the spirit is willing and the flesh is what? That's what Christ said. This morning I got up and had a quiet time. Praise God by the grace of the living God. And by the grace of God, I've never missed a day, a morning, since the fall of 82. What's that, 26 years? Every day. I'm telling you, it doesn't get easier sometimes. The flesh is just as strong now as it was. But I've learned something. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. I'd rather put down, get still, fight, get still, and have a good day, an overcoming day. I'm not clueless and bumping into walls, than just all day long miserable and tormented and frustrated and sick. Hello? I just got smart at one point. You know, this is stupid. Just a little bit of, you know, pay down and I get a good day. And I have good days. I do have good days. And the secret to my good days is no more complicated. I started out with Jesus. Not Wheaties, Jesus. Amen? You started out with Jesus. When you start your day with Jesus, and I always have orange juice too. Somehow that helps. Physically. But when you start the day with Jesus, you have a better day. Is this complicated? If you don't start the day with Jesus, then you call me, oh, I got all this stuff. Hello? Even Jesus started the day out with Jesus. I got the Father. Mark 1, he says he got up early, he went to the Father. I mean, if Jesus had to get up early and have a quiet time, what do you and I think we're doing? You know, come on, give me a break. And that's, to me, that's the pay dirt. The secret to total spiritual life success boils down to getting up early in the morning and spending time with Jesus. It really boils down to that. Everything in my life turned around in fall of 82, when I turned 30, when I began to have a quiet time. I construed it all back to that day when God nailed me and said, obey me. Because for 2 years, he had been talking to me about it. I'd been in college. I was finishing my degree. I had this interesting study schedule my last 2 years in engineering school. I would get up at 9 and make my 10 o'clock class at U of H. But then I would study every night from 8 to 2. Every night I studied about 5 to 6 hours every night. Now that's what happens when you go back to college after you had all these jobs and you realize that I'm not going to make it in life. And then daddy is paying your way, and if you blow it, he'll pull back the money. Trust me, you study. And I ended up graduating with honors. It was a phenomenal blessing and an encouragement in my life. And I had this you know what I learned in college? I got a degree in technology school and civil engineering and math. You know what I really learned in college? Discipline. I mean, you could come up and say, well, what's the square root of the hypotenuse of the cosine thingy? That I don't know. Go punch a calculator. We didn't even have calculators back then. Oh, the ones we had were the TI, complicated things you plugged in. But you know what? I learned discipline. That was worth it, man. I learned discipline. I was an undisciplined whatever. But after college, and right after I graduated from college, I'll never forget. It was May 16, 1981. I had it in my little today thing. And I remember saying, Jesus, please do not come back before May 16th. I killed myself to get that degree. I wanted that degree. And guess what? He didn't come back. Got my degree. I never forget. It's May 17th. I'm going and I'm graduating from college. I got this really cool job. And I thought, my brain, I don't have to study. You know, when you're cramming it in 4 or 5 hours a night for 3 straight years, summer, I mean, nonstop summer, fall, spring, just cram it. I said, I'm free. I'm free. This was May 16th, 1981. God gave me 6 weeks off because in July, he had me start a Bible study. That was tape number one. Today is tape number 1524. Had 6 weeks off. Then I had to start studying again. You know, I'm grateful for self-discipline. I'm grateful that I've been privileged to preach the word every week since 1981. And be disciplined, because I tell you, it's keeping the walls up. And guess what? I'm happier. I have a good life. And God's favor is on my life. Why? Nothing special. I'm scum. Scum for scum, I probably got you beat. It's just discipline. Taking up the cross, being disciplined, obedient, and disciplined. When I blow it, just keep short accounts. Forgive me, Jesus. Scum. And get it back up. Two more places. Can you believe it? James 4. These are not profound new verses to you. James 4, 7. You know what? You know why you got to stay disciplined? Because the Bible says the enemy walks about seeking whom he may what? Not lick. The lion is not out to lick you. Well, maybe on another lick sense. You got to keep your eyes open. Let me tell you a story. What precipitated this sermon. Last week, I guess it was about a week ago, Friday or Saturday or Thursday, I forget. I got up that morning and I felt that sickness coming on me. And it was a sickness of, and y'all all know what I'm talking about. It was the beginning of a sore throat thingy where your body begins to get heavy. Okay, I went through my morning routine with my puppy and this. I'm sitting down with orange juice in my quiet time. And I felt it. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, you have about 20 minutes. And if you don't do something, this thing will get you. Well, fortunately, I was sitting in my quiet time. And I remember thinking, Lord, I really don't need this. I hate being sick. Particularly one of those things where, you know, you get the sore throat. I know what I'm talking about. It just knocks you out. I hate it. And I just sat there. And I was like, but it was really cool. The Lord said, yeah, about 20 minutes. So I remember thinking, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? James 4:7. This is what I did. In fact, I even flipped to it and I read it, make sure I had it down. I mean, I've preached it a million times. So let me look at that verse. You ready? Folks, this verse got me well. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what I did, I had about 20 minutes, I just began to sing in tongues. This is really rocket science here. I began to sing in tongues. About 5 minutes. And I've learned just to sing in tongues until I sense the Spirit. What I've learned is I don't have no power, but there's a mantle that will come on me that has all power. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil and flee. So I need to submit to God. So I begin to sing in tongues. That's it. Y'all taking notes? This works. I sang in tongues. And just sang in tongues 5, maybe 7, 8 minutes until I sensed the peace. Sometimes it takes a little longer. And once it came on me, I began to do self-deliverance. I began to come out, said, come, Lord, show me what needs to go. That's all. And I began to, in the name of Jesus, and by the way, I did all this in my mind. I didn't even do it audibly. I just began to tell everything, anything and everything I was sensing to leave. Frustration, hurt, anger, fear, infirmity, sin, just go. And I was just saying, go. I command you to go. I forbid you. And I put my hand on my chest or my throat. Go. Go. Name of the Lord. Just in my mind, I was telling to go. Just pushing. Go. Push. Go. In the name of Jesus. Now, again, the key was I'd sung in tongues for 5 or 10 minutes. The anointing was on me, and I commanded it to go. And the result was I could literally, I remember at one point that morning, I don't know how to express it, but in the spirit, I sensed something back off about 3 or 4 feet ahead of me, and it was gone. And I began to rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It was completely gone. I'm fine. Didn't get sick. Is that rocket science? Submit yourself to God. Resisting. Now, the part is when you begin to worship, the Holy Ghost will come to you then. And he may say, that's when he'll come to you and he'll tell you. Now, the reason you're getting sick, and he may very well put his finger on something. Now, if you blow that off, I don't want to hear that. I just want to get the demons out. Connect the dots. That's what opened the door. That's like trying to bail the boat out but not fix the hole. Right? You're bailing here. You're bowing your knee to bail. Y'all didn't get that one. Right over the heads. But you didn't fix the hole in the bow. Y'all ready to close this thing so you can go eat chili? Last place. I'm going to show you some verses to memorize. I call them my morning verses. Psalm 143. Folks, I encourage you to memorize. I don't often encourage you to memorize verses. I memorized these verses probably 20 years ago. I've never shared this, by the way. Isn't that amazing? All these years, I've never shared this. For 20, 30 years, however long I'm teaching. And yet, I memorize this, and I quote this all the time. This is a wonderful passage to memorize, and it's the key. It's amazing. You teach every week for years and years and years and years and years and years, and then come up with something I never even shared. That's so significant. Did y'all get it, what I just said, how simple this is? The enemy's going to hit you. Now listen, it's not just sickness. It could be anything. It could be sickness on your kid. The Lord really wants you to go to him, sing in tongues, get in the spirit, hear, dial in, like a radio, get the station in, hear the voice, and obey. Then resist. command that thing to go. And you will find, folks, you'll save a lot of money on doctor bills. Psalm 143, we're going to start at verse 7, but I memorized verse 8 to the end. But we start at verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like them that go to the pit. Now that's a good precursor, because that verse is going to tell you the next four verses, 5 verses, is the way to get out of the pit when your spirit fails. Now that's the place a lot of us are. You ready? There's what I've memorized. Verse 8, King James, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto you to hide me. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of your mercy, cut off my enemies. And destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. I love those verses. Folks, that is a wonderful passage to memorize. It's a prayer. You pray it every morning. Notice, cause me to hear your voice in the morning. Your loving kindness. I challenge you to memorize that. And let that be your prayer every morning when you get up. Say it first thing to Jesus, quoting Scripture. A prayer, a godly prayer. Get up in the Spirit, and God will begin to reveal and manifest and give you and help you connect the dots. And quit being so spiritually naive and dull, because the teaching is spiritual dullness will get you into trouble. A dull, nothing worse than trying to cut the turkey with a dull knife. Am I right? It's amazing. How many of y'all have sawed at meat with a dull knife? You sharpen it, thing goes. How many of y'all just kind of labored through life, and then when you sharpen the spirit, you deal with the problem? Well, folks, the whetting stone, W-H-E-T, the sharpening stone of your life, is to get up every morning and to seek the face of Jesus and humble yourself and to worship him and to resist the devil and he'll flee and be sharp with disciplines. Again, it's up to you. Me, I'd prefer an ounce of prevention. It beats a pound of cure. Maybe you're not sick and tired of being sick and tired. Maybe you don't mind being sick and miserable. Or spend your days in emotional trauma, the torment of fear. I don't know, maybe anxiety's your thing. I don't know. Me, I just hate the above. I like peace. Just to walk and just be me. Right, James? I told James, I says, because of people like James, I can be myself. You know that? Yeah, James loves me enough. He comes up and says, okay, I know you're the pastor and everything here, but, you know, I'm just having this feeling and just frustrated about something you said, did, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, thank you, brother. I said, it's because of people like you I can be myself. Amen. So when I blow it, I got James's to come and talk to me. Praise God. And others. God wants you to live free. How many of y'all are afraid of being corrected? You're a bunch of liars. Come on, man. You don't like being corrected. Well, you know, wait, that reminds me, Jenny, there is something I need to talk to you about. Do you mind me saying it in front of everybody?
Why not?
Praise God. No, you're doing good, Jen. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of y'all need to resist the devil? Let's do this today. Say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for being clueless, spiritually naive, failing to connect the dots. The enemy comes right on in, right past my head, and I didn't even see it. Forgive me, Jesus, for presuming on you, for your protection is conditional upon me seeking your face and obeying your voice. I make a commitment today to submit myself to God. So when I resist the devil, he will flee. Now, Father, I pray right now you'll come with the Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Spirit, right now and bring conviction in every one of us, to every one of us. Lord, and you really want us to live He that will live and have a good life and have many days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Let him not speak guile. Let him walk in the way of peace. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Let him look neither to the right nor to the left, but let his eyes be straight before him, and let his all of his steps be ordered in the Lord. Come, Holy Ghost, you bring conviction. Bring resolution, bring commitment, Jesus. The C word, that's the secret to overcoming, is the commitment to walking in the Spirit, denying the flesh, taking up the cross, not being a wimp, but a warrior to make the right choices, to be a model to those around us, and to live a life of joy one day at a time in the Spirit free. Pashti katana, and I take this power, the powers of the darkness spirits. I take the enemy. I expose you today, and I take your authority of infirmities and sicknesses and all of this junk in the name of the Lord. I hand you to go. And as we are faithful and drawn out of God, he will draw nigh to us with this protection. And everybody say, amen. Everybody stand. Let me speak a blessing. I just speak a blessing now of peace and protection and anointing. And angelic covering over each of us. And everybody said.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.